line from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron, wishing you all happy Wednesday on this 20th day of July, 2016. And I am delighted that we have back on the program Mac Tomlinson. He was just on with us very recently, and we have him back to discuss a topic that we did not have time to discuss the last time he was on. It was supposed to be part two of our discussion, and we just got so involved in our discussion and got so many good questions from listeners that we couldn't move on to the topic that we are discussing today, starting a library, suggested building blocks with the best of Christian books. And as I said, my guest is Mac Tomlinson, who is pastor of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. And Mac is also going to be discussing a conference that he is not only organizing but speaking at. That's the Fellowship Conference New England in Portland, Maine. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron, Pastor Mac Tomlinson.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you, as always.
Amen, brother. And I know that reading is a very important part of your life, and obviously it should be not only a part of every Christian's life, but it should be a major part of every pastor's life especially, and that should go without saying. But did you always have this passion for reading? In fact, I could tell you with myself, even though I always, all my life, got very good grades up until I started experimenting with drugs in high school, and that really plummeted me down the toilet as far as the grades, but that had more to do with not attending classes and things like that. But I was always a smart kid and had good grades, but I really didn't become a voracious reader until I became a Christian. I don't know if that's the same with you, but tell us something about this appetite for reading that developed in your life.
Well, during my school years, I was a very mediocre student. I was not an intellectual. I, you know, made probably C's, B minuses. And it wasn't, excuse me, until I became a Christian when I was 19 years old. At that point, I had a hunger for spiritual truth. And I had a pastor who really taught me how to begin reading the Bible regularly. And as I did, I just grew in more and more hungry. And soon, two different friends put two books into my hands the first year I was a Christian. One book was The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink. And I read the book, and it just gripped me so deeply about how great and mighty God is in the Bible. And it opened up a whole world to me of initially viewing God correctly. And I immediately realized good books are very important. I didn't know hardly anything, but that book impacted me so much. It made me say, I must read other good books like this. The other book that was put in my hands my senior year of college. I had become a Christian when I was a sophomore year in college. But my senior year in college, someone gave me the little book, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozier. And it's very small, very readable. But it so stirred me to show me what it meant to have a heart to seek after God, to know Him. And A.W. Tozier was one of the specialists in the 20th century on that very subject. He wrote probably 50 books, and they're all very affordable. They're usually small, normally paperback books, and you can get Tozier's books online for $2, $3, and it's worth collecting all of them. Those two books charted my course for loving Christian reading. And after that, as I grew in college and graduate school, I just became a regular reader, because the reason was it fed me spiritually so much and I learned so much that I realized there is a whole world of good authors out there and good books that I know nothing of, but I want to read and learn. So that was how I began to have a deep interest in Christian books and reading.
Now, what kind of biblical encouragement can you give to our listeners to develop the habits that will also increase an appetite for further reading in their life?
Well, I think one of the things to realize is many Christians are intimidated about reading. They think, you know, I've never been a reader. I didn't do good in school. I'm not an intellectual. And so they're intimidated about reading, or they don't even see the value of it. But it's kind of like you really don't know what you're missing as a Christian until you begin to read some. So Christians, I believe, should develop a lifelong practice of learning periodically to read books that will help them. And there's many ways to find out what are the best books. But the biblical encouragement for reading, I wonder if we have often thought of this. And by the way, let me just encourage your listeners. If you're listening today, this program could probably be the most important way I could ever help other Christians. Mm. And so I encourage you to get a pen and paper, or get your iPad or your notebook, whatever, and take some notes today.
In fact, let me give my email address so that they could also ask you questions.
Yeah, you bet.
And that's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Because I encourage readers to listen and take notes, not only of authors and books, but just the things they'll hear today about reading, I don't want them to forget. And so they could also obviously come back later and go to the archives of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and listen to the program again today. But biblical encouragement for reading, I don't think we realize how often the Bible directly gives references to reading. For example, our Lord Jesus Christ often mentioned it. In Matthew 12, regarding the Sabbath, he said, "Have you not read what David did?" In Matthew 19:4, regarding divorce and remarriage, he said to his hearers, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Concerning true worship, the Lord Jesus said, "Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and babes, you have prepared praise for yourself," Matthew 21. After his resurrection in Matthew 21, he said, "Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone?" I could go on and on, but in Luke 10, to a lawyer who was trying to test him, the Lord asked the lawyer, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And so the Apostle Paul mentioned many places about reading in 1 Corinthians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 4. In fact, to the Thessalonians, he knew that reading his letters, he knew they were inspired epistles, but reading the letters of Paul was so important for the churches that Paul commands it with an oath. In 1 Thessalonians 5:27, he says, "I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren." And then at the end of his life, in 2 Timothy 4, he said to Timothy, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when you come, bring with you, and the books, but especially the parchments." Now, C.H. Spurgeon commented on Paul in this light about Paul's desire for books. Spurgeon said, "How we are rebuked by the apostle. He had even seen the Lord, yet he still wants books. Paul was caught up into the third heaven and heard things not lawful to utter, yet he still wants his books. He was an inspired writer, yet he wants books. He had written the major part of the New Testament, yet he still wants books." So, books are biblical. Isn't it amazing that the greatest revelation in all of history that stands alone is a book? God loves books, and he put his mind and his heart in the way of salvation in a book. And so Christians, I've heard Christians say to me before, "You know, I'm not really interested in reading other books. I'll just read the Bible." But that is an ignorant and a foolish statement, because books teach us not only theology and devotion, but they also teach us about what God has done in history. And you cannot learn all that in the Bible alone. So,
wouldn't you also say that there are gifts that God has given to the church throughout the centuries where he has placed teachers in our midst, men who have spent their entire lives? Sometimes we're able to dedicate more of their time to study in centuries past than your average theologian or professor even could today, because of the distractions and so on. And we have such a wealth, a rich fountain, if you will, of available theologians and teachers who can help teach us what the scriptures mean, who can exegete them and so on, and we can find their exegesis in the written pages of these books. And to discount them is the height of arrogance, because you're really saying that you are smart enough and know your Bible well enough to do all of this by yourself.
Exactly right. Well, I think you have a quote at the beginning of your program every time. I think it says basically, "Those who won't use other men's brains prove that they have no brain of their own."
Yeah, that's the Solid Ground Christian Books commercial. It's a quote by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
And it is the height of arrogance. Because if I believe all I need is the Bible, just me and God, I am saying I don't need any of my brethren. It's the same thing as saying, "You know, I won't go to church. I don't need to hear sermons. I'll just stay home and read my Bible." It's a delusion that's rooted in arrogance. So that's absolutely true.
Amen. Well, did you have anything to add about the biblical encouragement for reading? Because I also like to know the spiritual benefits of reading. I mean, we've obviously just started addressing the fact that there are teachers available to us, great giants of the faith that know the original languages of the scriptures and so on, and who have just been a precious help to they've been a precious help to each other. I mean, you read about Calvin and his learning from Augustine, and you learn about Spurgeon and his learning from Calvin and many of the great minds before him through the books that they read.
Well, that's exactly right. And the benefits are almost more than can be numbered. the encouragement that good books gives a Christian when you read, for instance, Christian biographies, and I'm going to talk about that a little more in a moment, but the encouragement you get from reading the lives of other Christians, and you also see what God has done in history through the lives of other Christians, it opens up a whole new world to you. I'll give you an example in my own life. Years ago, I got very interested in the subject of the Holy Spirit's work in the life of Jesus himself. And because I would read in the Bible about Jesus coming forth from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, and so I said, I want to see our Lord's example in this more. And I read all I could in the Bible, but then for years I've received a monthly magazine called The Banner of Truth.
Oh, yeah.
A Trust magazine. And about the time I was interested in this subject on the Holy Spirit, The Banner of Truth had two back-to-back articles by Sinclair Ferguson on the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus. And it was exactly what I was interested in. I studied those two articles closely over 2 months. And it opened up a complete new area of understanding about my Lord and his divinity and his humanity that I had never even thought of. And then Dr. Ferguson in the article said, for further reading, the Puritan John Owen or the Puritan Thomas Goodwin wrote wonderful material on the Holy Spirit in the life of Christ. And so then I went to Owen and Goodwin, and they expanded on it. And it has been the most precious experience. But if I had not read the writings of others, I would have stayed ignorant in that area. Because when other men write on the scriptures or on others' lives, the Holy Spirit automatically uses that to instruct us, to teach us, to stir us, to challenge us, and to cause us to grow. Those are the real benefits of reading.
Amen.
Now, let me go ahead and add a negative. The negative is, there are so many bad books today,
mm-hmm.
In Christian bookstores, on the internet. Today, more than ever, Christians need to have real discernment in what they read. There's a danger about reading bad books. Many books are dangerous. For instance, some of the best sellers are dangerous books.
Yeah.
The well-known book, The Shack, or Your Best Life Now, or the recent one, Love Wins, Heaven, Hell, and the Fate of Every Person Who's Ever Lived by Rob Bell. There are very dangerous books out there that teach heresy, that teach error, and they're bestsellers.
Yeah, in fact, John MacArthur said something excellent about Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now. He said, if your best life is now, that means you're going to hell. Because how else,
right.
How else for a Christian could he possibly even think that this would be our best life? Because if it is, MacArthur said it very plainly, if this is the best that it's going to get, that means later on, you're going to hell.
Well, that's absolutely right. And many Christians or professing Christians don't seem to have the discernment that they should have about this, because they hear about a book, it's recommended, someone's excited about it, and so they read it and they think, oh, this is great. Well, many books that seem good or not. So we have to really have discernment. And, you know, I think knowledgeable Christians should use our knowledge of good books as a bridge to talk to people about bad books. Many times when someone has asked me, have you read Your Best Life Now or The Shack or some other book, I'll use it as an opportunity not to be rude, I'll give you a recent example. I saw a truck driver at a truck stop here in Texas, and he was sitting in his truck, and I just wanted to go over to his truck and speak to him and witness to him, so I worked up the courage to do that. I walked over to his truck, I climbed up on the step, and I asked him how he was doing, I asked him how I could pray for him. And then I said, do you ever get to read on the road or listen to sermons? And his answer was, yeah, I listen to Joel Osteen every single day. Well, here's my opportunity. I didn't become negative. I said, oh, let me tell you about some men that'll be much better listened to. Alistair Begg is much better. And then I named some other couple of guys, and I mentioned things for him to read. And so my point is, Christians should use our knowledge of books as a bridge to talk to other people.
Excellent.
Because books are, they're not offensive. Everybody loves books. So we can use books as great tools if we understand how to be discerning in the use of them.
Yeah, that was an excellent bridge there. Well, I know that you have, as most Christians do, you have your favorite authors that have blessed you throughout your life. And if somebody is, especially if somebody is building a library, and obviously they want to avoid wasting money on the garbage, some of which you just mentioned, and they want to make sure that they are stocking those shelves with the ammunition, basically, that they're going to need to prepare themselves to not only be further equipped to defend their own faith with those that they happen to encounter in public or even in their own families or their colleagues at work or wherever they may be, but they also need to be able to expose the errors of the enemy. So if you could let these folks know who are wanting to start this library or this study in their homes or their offices, what should they start stocking their shelves with?
Well, let me just mention some categories first.
Sure.
Because a Christian's reading should be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
We should not just read devotional books,
mm-hmm.
or we should not read just biographies or just theology or just church history. We need to have various categories where we build our library of good books in different categories. So theology and Christian doctrine is a major important category. Commentaries, readable commentaries, and any Christian that wants to get a commentary on a book of the Bible, a commentary is just when someone, say, Romans, the book of Romans, an author writes thoughts or an exposition, he writes a study on Romans to help other Christians understand Romans. He's commenting on the book of Romans. So commentaries can be valuable, but it's very important to get direction in the right ones because some are very technical or they use the Greek or Hebrew. Banner of Truth, by the way, has done some very readable commentaries on many New Testament books, and they're paperback. They're written for the average Christian or the layman, but some of those are even good for pastors. It's called a Let's Study series. And so commentaries are a good category. Church history. And then Christian biography. The biographies of the Christians, both men and women, from early church history up into the 20th century, of the lives of Christians that God has used in the past. Books on prayer. Some daily devotionals. A daily devotional is very good to have to read along with your Bible. Some specific ones are C.H. Spurgeon, Morning and Evening, the book by Paul David Tripp, New Morning Mercies. William Jay, Mornings and Evenings with Jesus. There are some excellent daily devotionals, and those are very good to use as well. And, of course, the home, the Christian home, marriage and family, parenting and children. There are some excellent books in that category, even that Solid Ground Christian Books has published and have available. So these major categories, Christians need to have good books in different areas that will produce a balanced understanding in their Christian life.
Just like the Bible is got all different kinds of categories of teaching in there. You've got all different kinds of literature in the Bible. You have history, you have theology, you even have songs. I mean, you have all kinds of things in there.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so it's important to just see these areas, these topics, these subjects, these categories are important to have gained knowledge and understanding in.
We're going to be going to a break. I'm sorry, brother.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we were going to go to a break right now, so this way we could pick you up instead of cutting you off midstream. We can pick you up right where we left off there. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, and there are a couple of people already waiting to have their questions asked, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. I ask that you please give your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And we look forward to hearing from you with your questions for Pastor Mac Tomlinson on the best of books to build a library right after these messages, so don't go away.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and that was the ad that our guest, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, was bringing up earlier, Solid Ground Christian Books, and we hope that all of you listening will definitely look through their online catalog at solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and I'm sure you're going to find many things that Pastor Mac Tomlinson would strongly recommend. In fact, I would think that Pastor Mac Tomlinson would probably recommend every single thing that Solid Ground Christian Books offers. Also, I want to let you know that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service is a sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron, and they carry Solid Ground Christian Books, as well as the books of every single major publisher that publishes theologically sound literature. Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service has many things that they refuse to carry. They may make some exceptions for pastors who need to do research on heretical material, but they are not going to be openly offering it to the general public. And it's one of those wonderful places that you could go to without fear that you're going to be getting some horrible, spiritually poisonous book. But anyway, if you'd like to go to cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service.com, they also have a wide assortment of books. In fact, every single book that you ever hear about on Iron Sharpens Iron can be purchased through Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at very reasonable rates, and most often probably the lowest rates that you can find anywhere else. And before we go back to our discussion, I do want to remind everybody about Pastor Mac Tomlinson's Fellowship Conference New England that is going to be held. It's going to be here before you know it this August, August 4th through the 6th. It's being held at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And Pastor Mac Tomlinson is one of the speakers, in addition to Pastor Jesse Barrington and Charles Leiter and Michael Durham. And the website is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And if you could, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, let our listeners know something more about this conference that you are so passionate about.
Well, there's a real hunger of among Christians in New England, I think because the spiritual climate is so dark in New England that Christians that are there are serious-minded, and they're spiritually hungry. This conference is a small conference, less than, you know, 100, well, less than 200 people. So it's not large like many conferences. The registration is, I think, $20 or less. The information on that is on the website. But it's an atmosphere of true fellowship around biblical truth, around the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. It's a warm-hearted atmosphere. It's loving and encouraging. It's not an ecumenical conference in terms of what people would commonly think, because we do major on doctrinal evangelical truth. The preaching is pastoral. It's edifying. It's Christ-centered. And any Christian who is free that week, August 4th through the 6th, who could come to Portland, you will find it a delightful experience and very edifying. So we hope you could consider coming.
Great. And once again, that website is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, and we'll be reminding you about that conference every day until the day of the conference, or at least close to that day. So keep your ears open for more information about that, and we hope that you can attend. And even if you are not in the Portland, Maine area, if you have the financial means to jump in a plane or an Amtrak, we would urge you to get out there. And that, again, is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. Now, it's up to you, Pastor Mac. We do have several people waiting to have questions asked. Do you want to finish a point before we do that, or would you like me to start off with some questions from the listeners?
I'll go ahead and take the listeners' questions, and then we can move on to other things after the questions.
Okay, great. Let's see here. We have, we have a listener all the way in Scotland listening, and it's spelled Kinross, Scotland, but usually when I'm speaking to somebody from Scotland or the UK, they have a completely different pronunciation for something that looks very easily pronounced, phonetically spelt, two syllables, Kinross, but who knows the way they pronounce it. But we have Murray in Kinross, Scotland. He's got a couple of questions for you. Could you ask Pastor Mac Tomlinson to advise whether the Fellowship Conference in New England will be streamed live so that those who live further afield might have the opportunity of following? And maybe you'll answer that first, because he does have a question about books as well.
Yes, the plan is for the conference to be live-streamed. And so if they go to the conference website, or possibly also Redeeming Grace Fellowship there in Portland, it will be live-streamed, God willing. So we would welcome our brother to tune in.
And, of course, Murray, there's also, I'm sure, an airport near you. Why don't you jump in a plane and fly out to Portland, Maine, and go to the conference? But here we have a couple of other questions from Murray. He asks, given the proliferation of cults and sects in recent years, would Mac Tomlinson be in a position to recommend a book that maintains the same standard as Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults, but is more comprehensive in scope?
Well, Murray, that's a great question. Unfortunately, I do not know of one to recommend. There is some more recent updated work in that area, Walter Martin's work was wonderful, but it was, you know, 20 and 30 years ago at least.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is not, his work would not be updated at all. So I do not know of a book right now to recommend. I apologize.
Well, I can say that I know that that Walter Martin's Kingdom of the Cults was updated even after his passing and entering glory. They did revise that. But this is quite providential, Murray, because on August 24th, I'm interviewing Bodhi Hodge, who is one of the authors of a brand new book that is hot off the press. Actually, the volume 2 is a brand new book. There's 2 volumes of World Religions and Cults, and we just got into our hands volumes 1 and 2, and you know something? I don't usually do this, Murray, because overseas shipping is expensive. We usually don't give our giveaway books to folks overseas, but I'm going to get those 2 books to you somehow, both Volume 1 and Volume 2 of World Religions and Cults. And Bodhi Hodge works with Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, so I am very confident, even though I have not read these books because I just got them within a day or so. But I trust Ken Ham a great deal with his discernment, and I know that he happens to be theologically a Calvinist, just as my guest is and as I am. So give me your complete mailing address, Murray, and I will make sure that we get those books off to you. I'm going to let Murray have one more question here. Is there a definitive modern book covering the thorny issues of marriage, divorce, and remarriage that Mack Tomlinson could suggest? I lost my Jay Adams book on the subject many years ago and assume it is still out of print.
Well, that is an amazing question, really. Murray is a very... he asks better questions than I can probably answer.
Well, John Murray, didn't John Murray write a book on that?
He did write a book. It was a small book. Mm-hmm. John Murray, the professor John Murray of Westminster Seminary, wrote a small book called Marriage, Divorce, and either Marriage and Divorce or Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. I can mention 3 books in answering Murray's question.
Okay.
Craig Keener, K-E-E-N-E-R, published by Hendrickson Publishers, wrote a book, and the title of it is And Marries Another, subtitled Divorce and Remarriage in the Teaching of the New Testament. The title is And Marries Another, Divorce and Remarriage in the Teaching of the New Testament by Craig Keener. And then John Murray's book is just titled Divorce. It's published by Presbyterian Reform Publishers in Phillipsburg, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Adams' book is worth getting, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage in the Bible, published by Zondervan, at least it was. And then Conrad Murrell has a small quality book that if any listener were to email me, I will send them a gift copy.
Wow.
Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage.
Hmm.
So I can hardly recommend these that I've mentioned.
Yes, and I failed to mention that our guest, even though we did a past interview on it, our guest today wrote the biography of Conrad Murrell, Grace and Truth. And once again, you can get all of these books at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Anything that... our guest is mentioning, they can get their hands on it. And that's...
Well, actually, I should say the biography on Conrad Murrell is not currently at Cumberland Valley.
Oh, it's not.
But anyone could order it from conradmurrell.com.
Okay.
Or they can contact me. Let me, before we leave Murray, I thank you for your good questions, and And it just, a call from Scotland warms my heart,
mm-hmm.
because I love Scotland. I've been there. I've traveled there. I have dear friends there. And in relation to books, Scotland has a history that is almost unparalleled with the Scottish Covenanters.
Mm-hmm.
And probably my favorite area of reading in historic biography is the 19th century Scottish preachers.
Hmm.
The lives of Robert Murray McShane, Thomas Chalmers, John Bonar, Horatius Bonar, Andrew Bonar, John Milne. They were all contemporaries, and their biographies are the most inspiring biographies I've ever read in 40 years.
Amen.
All Scottish. Now, mm-hmm. there is a recent book published by Christian Focus by Tom Lenny, L-E-N-N-I-E, and it is a mammoth book. It's published by Christian Focus right in Scotland.
Hmm.
It's called Land of Many Revivals, Scotland's Extraordinary Christian Revivals Over Four Centuries. And Tom Lenny has done a marvelous job. It's over 500 pages.
Wow, is he a living author?
He is. He lives in Edinburgh. And his book, Land of Many Revivals, chronicles every major genuine revival from 1527 to 1857. And
wow.
This book is phenomenal. If anyone wants to see God's work in the history of Scotland, the power of God, Tom Lenny's book is just extraordinary. And by the way, Scotland, as well as the country of Wales, are probably the two countries where historic revival has happened more than anywhere else in all of church history.
Yeah, and I understand they need another one there badly.
Very, very badly.
Now,
as we do in America.
Yes, yes. My pastor currently at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, is in Scotland right now. His daughter's getting married within at least a couple of weeks, I believe. And he is from, I mean, I can't pronounce it correctly probably, but it's Ayrshire, I think. And he attended Glasgow University, and then he is a graduate also of Free Church of Scotland College in Edinburgh. And he is traveling right there in Scotland now. But he is my pastor at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm very thankful for him. By the way, have you ever been to Kinross, where our listener Murray is?
I have not. I've mainly been only coming up from the south, from England, traveling up to Edinburgh and around Edinburgh. So my experience of Scotland has been too limited, really.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to get an interview with Lenny, because Christian Focus has been encouraging me to interview their authors, and they have sent out books to us from Scotland via their, their United States hub. And we would love to see if we could get an interview arranged on that. Well, thank you so much, Murray, for those wonderful questions. And as I said, get me your full address, your full shipping address, so we could get to you those books that you mentioned. We also have, waiting for his question to be answered, David in Ada, Ohio. His question is, should I focus on reading Reformed and Calvinistic authors and avoid dispensational writers? For example, should I read Edwards, Pink, Bettner, Sproul, MacArthur, Spurgeon, Calvin, and Warfield versus Dave Hunt, Tommy Ice, Charles Ryrie, etc.? Well, it's interesting, David, you might not know this, but John MacArthur is a dispensationalist, but he's also theologically reformed in his soteriology anyway, and he's a wonderful author, one of my favorites, but he is dispensationalist. But that's interesting that he asked that, Pastor Mac, because you actually encourage Reformed Christians to go beyond the barriers of our reformational heritage to read other writers from different theological perspectives, do you not? Pastor Matt?
I'm sorry, Chris. Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a moment. Could you repeat that?
Do you want me to repeat the entire question by David? Can you hear me?
Please.
Yeah, it seems like we're having some kind of phone problem. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I think I got the question, but I didn't hear the end of what you asked me.
Oh, well, I remember that you had said, I can't even remember if it was a personal conversation off the air or if it was on the air, but you said that you think that Reformed Christians should also investigate reading the writings of some great men of God who were not theologically Reformed and Calvinistic.
Absolutely. I do believe in reading. Personally, I'm fully Calvinistic in my theology, in my soteriology. But I do not only read Calvinistic authors. Now,
in fact, you wrote a biography of Leonard Ravenhill, and he was not a Calvinist. He is now. He is now, of course.
But no, I think there's a. I think if we only read authors that are in line with our theology, I think we miss out on the benefits of other authors. For instance, anyone who is interested in good books on a high view of God and true worship, they should read A.W. Tozer. But A.W. Tozer was not
right.
Calvinist.
Yeah, Christian Missionary Alliance was his denomination.
Right. Or books on prayer. You can't go wrong in reading E.M. Bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think you mentioned dispensationalists.
I mean, I don't know if he would want to have on the top of his reading list some of the men that he listed, though. He listed David Hunt and Tommy Ice and Charles Ryrie. Tommy Ice is predominantly going to be writing exclusively about eschatology. And David Hunt, although he is in heaven now and knows better, he had some dubious writings. In fact, he even, later in his life, developed the notion that if you came to Christ underneath a Calvinistic ministry, you are not saved. He began to hate Calvinism so much in his later years, and it's a shame because his middle name is Charles Spurgeon. It's Dave Charles Spurgeon Hunt, but he had a vehement hatred of Calvinistic theology. And Charles Ryrie, of course, some of his writings didn't lend towards the easy believism camp and in opposition to Lordship salvation?
Yes, that's exactly true. They did.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion is that dispensationalism is a hermeneutic that undermines and destroys the unity of the whole message of the Bible.
Wow.
And it's destructive.
But wouldn't you say John MacArthur, even though he is a dispensationalist, seems to have overcome that? Because most of his
writing... Right. I totally agree with that. He has overcome that. I think, in my opinion, he's only consistently a dispensationalist now in the area of eschatology, but not in soteriology or how the Bible would apply to the Christian life.
Right, right.
And so...
I mean, he is one of my favorite of all-time authors and still is, and one of my favorite of all-time preachers as well.
Yes, I can echo that as well. But I recognize, as a reader and a listener to teaching and preaching, that I don't agree with dispensationalism, and so I have to hear with discernment, and I have to be careful.
Right.
As people have often said, I'll take the meat and spit out the bones.
I could also just give a plug to one of the sponsors of this show, and I'm not just saying it because he's a sponsor of the show, but my dear friend, Pastor Ron Glass in Wading River Baptist Church, is one of the finest preachers I know of. He has a radio program called The River of Life that you can hear on the internet wherever you are in the world, but it's aired locally on radio stations in New York. But Wading River Baptist Church is a fine church, and he is, Pastor Glass, is a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist, and the bulk of his preaching would be on soteriological issues and things like that. It would not be weighted down with end-time scenarios or anything like that. But that there, I've said my speech in defense of some of my Calvinistic heroes here. are we having some sound problems there, Pastor Mac? Because it seems like there's a delay or something. And
well, there may be. I'm doing my best, so I'm on track with you.
Okay.
You can hear me well.
Yes. And let's go to one more question from a listener, and then we'll move on to some of our other topics from your categories here of the best in books. Tyler in Mastic Beach, Long Island, New York. Why do you think the church in America particularly is so anti-intellectual? How do I answer those who lay the burden down on me for reading good, solid doctrinal volumes?
Well, I mean, I think we're in an age where there's an attitude of, I don't know, spiritual laziness,
mm-hmm.
spiritual ignorance, and in one sense, an anti-intellectualism that many don't see the connection of the mind. The truth has to come to the mind and then affect the heart. And so I think, if I understand his question right, I think those who do see the value of reading and true knowledge and theology, they're by family, by friends, even by church friends, they're going to be misunderstood. And I don't think we can make them see and appreciate you know, the value of gaining real benefit from quality books.
Yeah, like we've said before, when people tell you that you should only be reading the Bible and you shouldn't be wasting your time reading books, the very words coming out of their mouth are not in Scripture. So they are acting as a teacher using their own thoughts and giving you bad information, because that is not from the Bible, what they told you to do. And the anti-intellectual thing, I don't know if you could broad brush America as necessarily being anti-intellectual, but probably wouldn't you say that the largest, most heavily populated groups of people who profess to be Christian are not stressing the intellectual end of the faith, because that is just typically a sign of, you know, what's been going on for centuries, that men want something that salves their conscience and makes them happy rather than the whole counsel of God, which is not always pleasant to the ears. I mean, I don't know, have any other explanation. Do you have any clue on that? Are you hearing me, Mac? I'm sorry. There seems to be a real big delay here.
Yes. And I did hear your question.
Okay.
My reply would be the professing evangelical church in America, and that's a broad term,
because
that would include charismatic believers. It would include professing Christians in mainline Protestant denominations. But when I think about that question, I think many professing Christians are experience-based. They they base their relationship with God strictly on what they experience in terms of encouragement or feelings, and they do not see the importance of Christian doctrine or theology. They think it's boring. They think it's unimportant. They make no connection. Others, they live in a culture of ignorance about what's out there and what's available in terms of Christian books. A.W. Tozer used the illustration of someone seeing children in South Africa by a diamond mine, and children were playing marbles with diamonds, and they had no idea what the value was of those things that were right around them. Well, you know, I've walked into Christian bookstores, and on the discount bookshelf, there was a book by John Calvin and a book right next to it by Norman Vincent Peale. and people have no clue what the difference is, because they're satisfied with a shallow Christian experience. They're satisfied with shallow knowledge, and so they can go to church on Sunday and hear a 20-minute sermon that tells some neat stories and has a couple of main points that are funny with some scriptures thrown in there, and they go away saying, well, that was really encouraging. You know, I love how he speaks. So we live in an ignorant age, and one of the great benefits of knowing good books is they are great gifts to give to people that can really, really affect them. Everywhere I go, I'll purposely carry books to give away to people. And they can, I'll give you an example. There's a businessman in Fort Worth, Texas, who was an executive with a large company. And I met him for lunch one day. I gave him a small book called To Die is Gain, the Triumph of John and Betty Stamm. The Stamms were a young couple in the mid-20th century who went to China with the China Inland Mission. And about 2 years into being in China, the communist soldiers went through China, and they began to persecute believers and missionaries. And John and Betty Stamm were trapped in their village, and they were martyred.
Mm.
They were brought out of their house. They hid their daughter, and she was not found. But John and Betty Stamm were brought outside, and they were martyred. They were both decapitated with a Chinese soldier's sword, and they died together. And this book, The Triumph of John and Betty Stamm, tells the story. It was written by Mrs. well, I can't think of the author's name.
Do you know where the Stamms were from originally?
They were from, I'm pretty sure they were from Pennsylvania. Well,
it's amazing that you said that, because that is obviously an old family name right in this town that I'm in now, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, because there is several businesses with that name, S-T-A-M-M, right?
I'm not sure the exact spelling, but I do know the daughter who survived lived well into her 80s or 90s and lived out her life in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. I would be very interested to find out if they were from this very area where there's several businesses named Stamm, including an excellent fried chicken restaurant. I've got to go in there and find out.
Well, my point of bringing up that book is I gave that small book, and anyone can find the life of John and Betty Stamm easily on the internet.
Hmm.
It's a small book, and I gave it to this businessman. And it so ministered to him to see their love and their sacrifice. It brought him to tears, and it turned his whole Christian life around, where he became much more serious-minded, and he became a reader and a lover of good books as a result of that.
Hmm. Well, we're going to a break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Mac Tomlinson and the Best of Books.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new Topical Reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, and our guest today for the full 2 hours with 1 hour to go is Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Baptist Church. I'm sorry, Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas, which is a Reformed Baptist church. And we are discussing the best in books to build a library. And don't forget about Pastor Tomlinson's Fellowship Conference New England coming up very shortly, August 4th through the 6th in Portland, Maine. And for more details, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. We have a listener, John, in Peoria, Illinois, who is with Samaritan Ministries, who wanted to know the website address for World Magazine. John, that is wng.org/ironsharpens. wng.org/ironsharpens. But always remember, if you hear an ad that has any kind of a website, or a phone number or anything like that, and you didn't hear it correctly, or you don't remember it, just go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, and scroll all the way to the bottom. And all of our ads are there, our banner ads that you can click on, and they have hyperlinks directly to the sponsor's own websites. So don't forget to just do that anytime you hear an ad, and if you don't hear or don't remember the website or contact information, you could do that. Before we go on to continue another category of your book recommendations, Pastor Mac, one of the last callers, it was David, I believe, was asking about should he stick with Reformed books, and you said that that Reformed people should, you know, reach out and really start investigating the lives of great men who are authors who are not Reformed. But for the newer Christian, don't you think it might be wiser for the newer Christian to perhaps stick with the Reformed writers?
I do think that is accurate, because the new Christian is just getting, and they're a spiritual babe, and they're getting their foundation laid properly. And so I think they can read biographies of non-Reform Christians, such as perhaps Amy Carmichael, or I could name others. But as far as doctrine and theology, though, that would be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is important to, because you can get very confused quickly if you're reading books that seem to be written well, and they seem plausible, but they're teaching error. So I would say that would be right.
Well, go ahead.
In that regard, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
I always say one of the greatest books any new Christian could read is a book that is on basic Christian doctrine of what salvation is and the Christian life. And the book is entitled The Christian Life, A Doctrinal Introduction by Sinclair Ferguson.
Oh, yeah.
Published by the Banner of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have taken young people through that study many times. I give that book out regularly, and I always say in various places, the single most important book outside the Bible that a new Christian could read, in my opinion, is that book, because it is written in such a way that any Christian will get grounded in what the truth of what the Bible teaches about salvation and how to grow as a Christian.
Amen. In fact, Sinclair Ferguson is one of my favorite preachers. I've seen him preach probably 10 times at least. He used to come out to Long Island, New York, in my early years of Christianity in the 80s and 90s, when he used to actually fly out from Scotland at that point. And then he, not long ago, preached at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle. And I would recommend everything that he has written. I can't even think of a book that he has written that would not be worthy of promoting. And Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service definitely has that book. Because Banner of Truth is one block away from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And since Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service is our sponsor, I'm going to plug them at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. But thank you for the recommendation. I think it would probably be good to continue promoting some of the best authors that you cling to. In fact, if you want to, we could go through the different denominations or theological backgrounds in categories. Like, for instance, why don't we go through some of your favorite Baptist authors, and then we could go perhaps to Presbyterian and Anglican, because those seem to be the three greatest sources of Calvinistic literature anyway.
Yes. Well, it's at this point that I would really encourage listeners to have that pen and paper ready, or their iPad, because these have become my favorite authors over the last four decades of being a Christian. And I found that they're the most edifying, the most biblical, the most helpful authors in all of the Christian church. So I want to talk about groups, authors, and then particular books. You mentioned Baptist. You know, John Piper is a contemporary Baptist. It is a very edifying author. And though Reformed Christians may not fully agree with some of his views, I understand that completely.
It's more like his decisions rather than his views.
Well, my point is, some of his books that he's written in the past 20 years are simply very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
From the basic Desiring God,
mm-hmm,
to all the way to his book on, I believe it's The Justification of God, on an exposition in Romans 9.
Mm-hmm.
So as a Baptist contemporary author, John Piper is very helpful.
Yeah.
D.A. Carson,
mm-hmm,
is one of the finest theologians in American in the world.
Mm-hmm.
His books are simply incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I've interviewed him.
You go back in history, some of the better Baptists in history to read, Andrew Fuller, the English theologian, he was a pastor,
mm-hmm,
probably the greatest Baptist theologian England ever produced, or Britain ever produced. He was a part of the British missionary movement. So Andrew Fuller would be a great historic Baptist read. J.P. Boyce,
mm-hmm,
who was the founder of Southern Seminary in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Boyce's Abstract and Systematic Theology is a single-volume systematic theology that's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the well-known British Baptist C.H. Spurgeon,
mm-hmm,
is one of the greatest, most prolific Baptist authors in history. Go back before him, John Bunyan is one of the most incredible authors in all of Christian history,
mm-hmm,
and he was a part of the Bedford Baptist Church there in Bedford, England, where he lived and died.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be some favorite Baptists.
And I'm sure that you wouldn't disagree if I were to plug a man who's written about a number of the men that you listed. That would be Tom Nettles, Dr. Tom Nettles, who is a Baptist historian and has written about some of those folks. In fact, he wrote a biography of J. Pettigrew Boyce. We also have Michael Haken, who has been on this program as well a number of times, who's a Baptist historian and author.
Yes, well, both of those men are two of the best contemporary, both historians, but they're both actually true theologians as well.
Right.
One large book that Dr. Nettles in recent years wrote, it's probably his greatest book that he'll ever write. It's almost 700 pages, Living by Revealed Truth,
yes,
Life, Pastoral Theology of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Yes.
So that's a phenomenal book to benefit. But moving on to other categories, even though I'm a Baptist, I have probably benefited more from Presbyterian authors than any other category. Going back to, I would say, the earliest Presbyterian authors that I really began to read would have been in the, I would say, the 18th century and then into the 19th century. Of course, the Princetonian theologians, Archibald Alexander first, is one of the great American Princeton theologians, and he was a powerful preacher. He preached around Virginia kind of like as a circuit riding evangelist, and he saw powerful revival in Virginia. But after Archibald Alexander, B.B. Warfield, the Hodges, Charles Hodge, and his sons, they were all at Princeton together, and their influence theologically on America and on the world has just been beyond, it's beyond description. And by the way, there is a marvelous two-volume History of Princeton Seminary by Banner of Truth, written by David Calhoun, that is superb. It's the History of Princeton Seminary by David Calhoun, and it not only shows the glory of Princeton theology, but it also shows how Princeton turned liberal in the first half of the 20th century and basically began to deny the truth. So other Presbyterian authors of more recent years, the Presbyterian Scotsman John Murray, his book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, is one of the top five books I've ever read. It's a smaller paperback.
Yep.
I would encourage any Christian who's not read it and wants to understand the work of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in our redemption, and how redemption was accomplished, and then how it's applied by the Holy Spirit, that book is immensely helpful.
Yeah, especially for those who are struggling understanding limited atonement or definite atonement or particular redemption.
Yes.
Very good.
A contemporary of Murray, a little older than him, was J. Gresham Machen, the great apologist and New Testament scholar. Though he died in 1937, he was one of the big influences, along with Lloyd Jones and Francis Schaeffer later, to expose neo-orthodoxy in America when it was gaining inroads. Machen and Lloyd Jones and Francis Schaeffer were the three leading voices to expose neo-orthodoxy and its influence on the church. So Machen was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
In fact, he was so much one of my favorites, I named my last son after him, Richard Machen Tomlinson.
Wow.
And then my most current favorite Presbyterian author, hands down, is Sinclair Ferguson. He is so helpful, not only as a preacher, but as an author. All his books are really designed to help Christians grow and understand the truth. And though he's a brilliant technical theologian, he brings it right down where anyone can get it. So he has many good books, and I recommend them all.
Yeah. In fact, I want to quickly plug a CD series that you could get from Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. They transferred the old cassette tapes of Sinclair Ferguson's preaching from the 90s onto CDs, and you can get the series called Dealing with Remaining Sin by Sinclair Ferguson at GraceReformedBaptistChurch.com, GraceReformedBaptistChurch.com. And ask specifically for Dane Morgan in the sermon audio room. They should be able to get that series out to you. The phone number there is 516-379-2408. 516-379-2408. 516-379-2408. That was my former church. So I just wanted to plug them, especially since they have that great resource there. And also, I don't know, have you ever read my friend Fred Zaspel's biography of B.B. Warfield?
I have not, but I've heard about it.
Yeah, so I'd like to plug that as well. In fact, I'll have to have Fred get you a copy of that.
Well, let me take some time here to mention a few Anglican authors.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite is obviously J.C. Ryle.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite authors there is in all of Christian history.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems to be the major influence that he left on the church. Of course, he was a contemporary of Spurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He pastored two places in England before he became the bishop of Liverpool. And, of course, during that ministry in Liverpool, he did not pastor. He was the bishop for that region of England. And I think he had over 80 churches under his care. He is one of the best writers any Christian could read. His book on holiness is probably the best book ever written on the subject. His book, Practical Religion. His book, Christian Leaders of the 18th Century. It's a collection of biographies on Christian leaders in the century before him. And Ian Murray recently has completed, and it's available with the Banner of Truth, a wonderful smaller biography on J.C. Ryle called Prepared to Stand Alone. And it is a very, very good look at J.C. Ryle.
I have that. I just got it recently in the bookstore at my own church.
Of course, another Anglican, a man who now is in his elderly years, is J.I. Packer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's written some marvelous books, Knowing God, Knowing Scripture. Another one, God's Words, and that's plural, W-O-R-D-S, God's Words. It's a miniature systematic theology. And so J.I. Packer and his books are very valuable, even for a brand new Christian to read. I could go on now if you want me to and begin to speak about some authors specifically and books.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But just quickly, though, since Solid Ground Christian Books is one of my sponsors, I just wanted to plug, as far as Anglicans are concerned, Stephen H. Ting, T-Y-N-G. I don't know if you've read anything by him, but Mike Gaidosh has brought back into print some excellent works by Stephen H. Ting, a 19th century Anglican Calvinist Episcopalian who was a pastor for at least a portion of his ministry in New York City. And he is phenomenal, and he has lectures on the law and gospel and also The Christian Pastor, which is a book that I gave to every pastor at one of my previous pastor's luncheons years ago. And solid-ground-books.com is the website for them, solid-ground-books.com. But I'm sorry, Pastor Mack, go ahead.
That's fine. Well, at this point, if the listeners have their pens available, I just want to mention some of my favorite authors. They're not chronological. They're not in any necessary older up to contemporary. But John Bunyan, Jerry Bridges, who just recently in the last few months passed away. Jerry Bridges is a wonderful author, and his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, and any book by Jerry Bridges is really wonderful. Jonathan Edwards, of course, an American Puritan in the 18th century, and his theological writings are very deep and sometimes hard to understand, but he's very helpful in some areas, particularly on the nature of true revival and how do you discern between a counterfeit work of the Holy Spirit and what is genuine. His book, Religious Affections, addresses that. And so Jonathan Edwards, and his sermons especially, are very, very solid and useful. Martin Lloyd-Jones may be one of my top two favorite authors, the 20th century London pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Any books, but I tell young preachers, read everything you can by Lloyd-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And he has helped me in particular areas more than any other author. A man who knew Lloyd-Jones and ended up writing his two-volume biography is Ian Murray. from Scotland. He's actually an Englishman, but he was the founder of the Banner of True Trust. All of Ian Murray's books should be read by hungry Christians and by pastors and preachers, because most of them are biographies. The Lloyd Jones biography, he's written two on Spurgeon, The Forgotten Spurgeon, and then the one later, Spurgeon versus Hyper-Calvinism, The Battle for Gospel Preaching. And then he wrote a recent, small, wonderful biography on Amy Carmichael called Beauty for Ashes. And what encouraged me about Ian Murray writing this book is Amy Carmichael was a famous woman missionary. She was in India for 50 years, never took a furlough. She died there. She was buried there. She was from Northern Ireland. But she was not Reformed. She was not fully Calvinistic. But Ian Murray, having the heart and the right broad perspective that he always has, he saw the beauty and the fragrance of her life lived for Christ and her devotion. And so he saw the value not only of her ministry, but of actually writing a biography on her. It's very, very much worth reading. It's about 170 pages, very easy to read. But Mr. Murray's other biographies, he wrote a biography on John Murray, the man we previously mentioned. He's also written two collections of biographies. One is called Heroes. Well, actually, three collections of biographies. One is called Heroes, and these are all published by the Banner of Truth. And in the book Heroes, there are seven biographies that Mr. Murray addresses. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, John Newton, Thomas Charles, the Welchman. And then a story that I did not know until I read it, Two Men in an Island. These were two Scottish Christians who went to the island of Madeira in South America, and they suffered severe persecution, but they saw a real work of God in historic missions. And then the sixth chapter is Charles Colcott Jones. This was a very moving account of a southern rich plantation owner who became a Christian, entered the ministry, and he became a missionary to blacks among the slaves in Georgia and the Carolinas. And God poured out a great revival among them. He loved them. They loved him. Well, this is a small biography in Ian Murray's book, Heroes. I would also mention his book, The Scottish Christian Heritage, which is a collection of Scottish Christians and a chapter on different Scottish Christians. And then one final one I'll mention by Mr. Murray, as far as biographies, is Wesley and the Men Who Followed. Ian Murray has a proper appreciation even for John Wesley, his devotion, the great courage and the passion that the early Methodists had. And that book is a biography on Wesley and shows the other Methodist preachers that were under him and how God really used them. And, of course, Mr. Murray does not condone Wesley's Wesleyan Arminianism, but they were good things. And so that's a great book. And there are other very valuable books by Mr. Murray. A more recent one is Evangelical Holiness, and it's a small paperback book, and it's very, very helpful. Chapter 1 talks about what is evangelical holiness and spirituality. Chapter 2 is the liberal attack on the Bible in the 19th and 20th century and how it happened. The book is worth the price of the book just for that chapter. So it's obvious that I'm saying Ian Murray is one of my all-time favorite authors. He's probably helped me more than any other author view church history right. Well, let me move on. I mentioned Amy Carmichael. She wrote many books. In the history of Christian missions, the books by the China Inland Mission, and there were many, Mrs. Howard Taylor was the daughter-in-law of Hudson Taylor. She became the official biographer of the China Inland Mission. Every Christian should search and find the books by the China Inland Mission, because the two-volume Life of Hudson Taylor is probably one of the top five biographies ever written. Amy Carmichael's books, all of them, are very worth getting, and they're very affordable. I could move on, or I could pause if you want me to.
Yeah, we actually have to pause for our very last break. But yeah, I just wanted to say something about that very quickly. You mentioned a book by Ian Murray about a pastor who had an outreach to the slaves in Georgia, was it?
Yes, it's actually his book, Heroes.
Okay.
And that man was John Colcock Jones. It's chapter 6 in the book, and it's just the story
okay.
of his work in the South.
Did you say his nickname was Cold Cut, like at a deli?
No. Colcock, C-O-L-C-O-C-K. That was his middle name.
Okay. The only reason that it just immediately sparked into my mind, another book that Mike Gaidosh publishes, Religion and Shoes, The Christ-like Life and Ministry of Brother Brian of Birmingham, Alabama. And that is a book that Mike Gaidosh has brought back into print about James Alexander Bryan, who there's a homeless shelter down there that Mike ministers at that is named after him. And he was a white pastor down there that had an enormous outreach to the black community there, and also to some of those that would be considered untouchable members of society, like prostitutes and so on. And quite a courageous thing for a man in the late 19th century and early 20th century who was white in the South to be doing. But, and again, I just want to keep plugging Mike's website. It's solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. But we have to go to our final break right now. And we're going to be right back after these messages with Mac Tomlinson and more of his recommendations. So don't go away.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Attention coin collectors and investors. Long Island Galleries of Wading River, New York has brilliant, uncirculated 19th century Morgan silver dollars for only $54 per coin, with free shipping and handling for a limited time. There's a 40-coin limit, so order now while supplies last. Call 888-260-8111. 888-260-8111. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express welcome. Prices subject to change, so call now at 888-260-8111. 888-260-8111. If you prefer ordering your brilliant, uncirculated 19th century Morgan silver dollars by check, mail it today to Long Island Galleries, 9 Susan Drive, Wading River, New York, 11792. That's Long Island Galleries, 9 Susan Drive, Wading River, New York, 11792. Remember, they're only $54 per coin with free shipping and handling and a 40-coin limit. New York State residents must add sales tax. Long Island Galleries is honored to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. See the Long Island Galleries display ad at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sorensen, and if you just tuned us in for the last 90 minutes and the next half hour or so to go, we have been interviewing today Pastor Mac Tomlinson of Providence Chapel in Denton, Texas. We've also been promoting his fellowship conference, New England, August 4th through the 6th in Portland, Maine. And if you want more information on that, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And before the break, you were just about to go into another category of literature, so I'd like you to do that now.
Well, I just want to, I'll mention other authors that I would encourage any Christians who hear the name of these authors. These authors are the most trustworthy authors I know, which means any book you can get by them will be good and edifying and trustworthy. Everything by A.W. Tozer is edifying and very profitable. Everything by Martin Lloyd-Jones, everything by Ian Murray, as I've said, E.M. Bounds, the 19th century, he was a chaplain in the Civil War, and he was a pastor, and he wrote many books on prayer, and though some of his statements at times I don't quite agree with, his books on prayer are so stirring and beneficial that they're very encouraging.
Mm.
Some specific other authors. Faith Cook is a pastor's wife in Britain, and she has written a number of wonderful biographies.
Hmm.
One is titled Singing in the Fire. It's a collection of Christian leaders and women and children. And then she's written several other good books. One is a good biography on John Bunyan. All of her books are very edifying. And ladies and younger girls would especially enjoy her books, but they're very beneficial. And she's an excellent, excellent writer. R.C. Sproul's books. Leonard Ravenhill. As I said, J.C. Ryle and D.A. Carson. Steve Lawson. He's a contemporary Baptist.
Yeah.
Is doing some very good work.
In fact, he just wrote a book on Martin Lloyd-Jones, so that's kind of killing two birds with one stone there.
Yeah, well, he's written recently some smaller biographies on different men, Whitfield and some others, and some good books on preaching as well. So Steve Lawson's is very, very much worth reading. Let me mention just a few individual books that have impacted me greatly over the years. One of the earliest ones, the summer my wife and I got married in 1978, that summer I read The Studies in the Sermon on the Mount by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And it was like a watershed for me because I had been under dispensational teaching. It taught me that the Sermon on the Mount was not really for us today. It's for a future time for the Jews. But Martin Lloyd-Jones destroyed that concept, and he showed me that the Sermon on the Mount is really Christ showing us what a true Christian is and what it means to live the Christian life. It's kingdom life. In fact, I think Sinclair Ferguson's book on the Sermon on the Mount is called Kingdom Life. So I could not recommend more Lloyd-Jones' book, Studies in the Sermon on the Mount, and also Lloyd-Jones' book, Spiritual Depression, is a very valid or valuable book. It's been recently republished by Granted Ministries in Hannibal, Missouri, and it's the uniqueness of their reprinting that book, they have the sermons, the original sermons by Lloyd-Jones, his series on spiritual depression, the actual sermons, in a sleeve in the back of the book that is an MP3 of those sermons. And the book itself is the best book I've ever seen to help Christians deal with What does depression mean? What are its causes? What are the remedies? It's just a book that's helped thousands of people deal with the subject of depression.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, every Christian should read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress.
Mm-hmm.
Spurgeon read it, I think, 300 times. My old friend Ernie Reisinger, who's now with the Lord in heaven.
Yes, yes.
I think he read it 100 times. It's just the value of the Christian life that that book shows is beyond description. Every Christian should read closely The Pilgrim's Progress because it's just a picture of conversion and living the Christian life and having to persevere through this world until you die and go to heaven. Another book, Thoughts on Religious Experience by Archibald Alexander, is one of the greatest books I've ever read, and it shows what the true nature of genuine Christian experience is and how God works within the heart and soul of a person. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, while you were thinking, since you mentioned the late Ernie Reisinger, there is a wonderful biography of him, I'm sure you are aware of, that Jeff Thomas from Wales wrote, and which was published by Banner of Truth. And that's another great book to get a hold of.
It is really wonderful. Ernie was such a joyful man, and even though he was fully Calvinistic, I think every day of his Christian life he was speaking to someone individually about coming to Christ.
Did you know that he founded the church that I'm a member of now?
Yes, I did know that. In fact, let me tell you a story about Ernie Reisinger. I went to Cape Coral, Florida in the summer or fall of 1997. And I spent a week with him. And one day we went out one morning to go have breakfast, and we stopped at his cleaners that he used to take clothes to be laundered, and it was owned by a Chinese couple. And when we walked in there, this couple, they just started beaming with a big grin because he had been so kind to them and so loving that they loved it when he came in. He had shared Christ with them many times, and while we were in there, he took another 30 seconds again to ask them if they had read what he had given them. he spoke to them about the Lord. That's the way he lived. So Ernie Reisinger's biography by Jeffrey Thomas, the Banner of Truth book, is a very wonderful book on a great man's life.
Yes. Well, by the way, when you were having that stroll with him, was that in Florida or here in Carlisle?
No, it was in Cape Coral, Florida, where he lived in his final years.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah. There's another book that is a small paperback book. It's a collection of biographies that is one of the best I've ever read. Fair Sunshine. It's published by the Banner of Truth. The author is Jock Purves, P-U-R-V-E-S, Jock Purves or Purvis, Fair Sunshine. And it's a story of the Scottish Covenanters and how they lived and how they died. The book will bring you to tears. It's so moving. And it does show what God did in Scotland over many years. There are three books by Alexander Strock. I think it's Alexander Strock, Biblical Eldership, is probably the best book I know on that subject.
Yeah, they publish, his own church publishes that book, and they shipped me a copy for every single pastor that came to my most recent pastor's luncheon.
Well, it's a wonderful book for pastors or churches that are looking to move from a single pastor model to having an eldership. And so the book is very helpful. two other books he wrote, Love or Die. It's a wonderful book about the commands to love in the New Testament, Love or Die. And then he wrote a good book called Hospitality Commands. It's a book on biblical hospitality. Very, very good. Two good books on prayer, two of the best. J.C. Ryle, A Call to Prayer, and D.M. McIntyre, he was a Scottish pastor, wrote my favorite book of all time on prayer, The Hidden Life of Prayer. David McIntyre, or D.M. McIntyre, The Hidden Life of Prayer. Another book that's very valuable on the work of the Holy Spirit and the subject of revival is Ian Murray's book, Pentecost Today. It deals with the biblical understanding of the doctrine of revival and the work of the Holy Spirit, and it shows what is genuine as opposed to what is not genuine. It's a very best book on the theology of the Holy Spirit I think there is to read anywhere. And then I think of a few others, and then I'll be quiet. The biographies of Robert Murray McShane, Memoirs and Remains of Murray McShane by Andrew Bonner, is one of the top five. It's better than I can even describe it. And then The Life and Diary of Andrew Bonner, published by the Banner of Truth. The Autobiography of John G. Payton, P-A-T-O-N, That's published by the Banner of Truth. John G. Payton was a 19th century Scottish man who went to the South Sea Islands in the South Pacific. And he took the gospel to the cannibals for 30 years, and they never got him. He lived and ministered there 30 years, saw revival. He saw whole islands come to Christ almost at times. And then he came back. He buried his wife there, buried his first daughter there. He came back, and he was buried in Scotland. But the Autobiography of John G. Payton, it's like reading a true adventure. I mean, it's a page-turner. It's so good. The Life of Jim Elliot is very good by his wife, Elizabeth Elliot. And also, one of my favorite biographies is The Life of Amy Carmichael by Frank Houghton, H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. Now, there's another good one written on her by Elizabeth Elliot. But Frank Houghton, his book is better because he knew Amy Carmichael, and it's simply a marvelous book. And then one final one. Several years ago, I read The Life of John Newton by Jonathan Aiken. It's published by Crossway Publishers. Jonathan Aiken, A-I-T-K-E-N. That biography on John Newton is simply phenomenal. I cannot say how good it is. And here's some thoughts real quickly on the value of reading Christian biography. When we read the biographies and the lives of Christians from the past, they show us that we're not the only ones that face problems. For instance, Spurgeon faced severe depression, and he was also ostracized and persecuted and criticized by many other Christians. Or Adoniram Judson, the missionary to Burma, he lost three wives and children on the mission field to death. And so he suffered great loss and emotional turmoil. So when you read these lives, you see that others have suffered and they have endured and they have continued to be faithful to Christ. You also learn that God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary purposes, and that God is still at work in our day as he was in the past.
Amen. Well, you know, I'd like you in the remaining 4 minutes to just unburden your heart and leave our listeners with what you most want etched in their hearts and minds before they leave this broadcast today?
Well, I would just say if you've been stirred about a little bit today about or encouraged about reading, then just take some baby steps. Contact Solid Ground Christian Books. Contact Chris Arnzen. You're welcome to contact me. And we have available list of recommended reading lists, how to start. Don't be intimidated. Read a small book and learn and then go from there. If I could start my reading again from 40 years, if I could start it over again, I would read more systematically. I would always have a book going, and I would just work my way through it. There's no hurry to get through a book. I would also read more prayerfully. As I said earlier, I would read with more discernment and be careful what I read. And I would let one book lead me to other very good books, because they will always do that.
And it'd probably be a good idea to have at least a small bookshelf in your bathroom.
Absolutely.
And it's really been a real blessing for me today, because not only did you introduce me to some new things that I wasn't aware of, but you've lit the fire under me to return to some of the authors who I've read, but to read other works by them, or even revisit some of the great works that I have already read, but it has been a long time. Pastor Mack, I know it's just, for me, it's always a joy to have you back, and I look forward to you to continue returning to Iron Sharpens Iron. I wanted to make sure that our listeners have your church website. It's providencedenton.org. providencedenton.org. The New England Fellowship Conference New England website that you are participating in, that conference, August 4th through the 6th in Portland, Maine. That website is fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And I know that you announced just before you have a specific website for the Conrad Murrell book. Pastor Mack?
Yes, it's just conradmurrell.com.
Conrad Murrell, and that's spelled M as in Michael, URRELL.com. Conrad, of course, is CONRADMURRELL.com. And, of course, you also have written the biography of Leonard Ravenhill, In Light of Eternity. And I want to repeat the fact that the vast majority of the books that we mention here on Iron Sharpens Iron can always be ordered through Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. And last but not least, Solid Ground Christian Books, as Pastor Mack Tomlinson is fully aware, is a great wealth of treasures from the past and present for you to get a hold of. And that website is solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com. Let me just make you aware of a couple of wonderful upcoming interviews that we have scheduled here. Jason Wallace of Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church is going to be here Friday to have a further discussion on the video that he produced on Mormonism. It's a documentary exposing the lies and heresies of Mormonism. And that video you can watch free of charge at lds.video, lds.video. And Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, he's going to be on August 15th. To discuss his new book, Stressed Out. So I hope that you join us for that as well. And in fact, that's a book that I definitely need to get a hold of. because that is definitely a problem in my life, getting stressed out far too easily. Well, thank you, Pastor Mac Tomlinson, and thank you for everybody who listened, especially those who wrote in. And I hope you always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner. God bless.